by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
For the lead!
Are you kidding me?
Wait, what? Are we going? Okay, we're going. This is the Master Report Podcast. My name is Chris. I'm sitting in for Matt, who's out in sunny and hot Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Matt. I'm sure you're listening. I'm joined here at Hendox Pub with a $2 pint in front of me, by the way. Every Monday night, Hendox Pub has $2 pints. I'm joined here by Larry, who has forgone the $2 pint. Are you drinking scotch?
Makers, Mark.
Makers. He's drinking Makers. He's a true man. And obviously, I've got Justin Bell beside me. Justin, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm not drinking anything.
No, he just skipped it all and came straight to, he's all about the business tonight.
Yeah.
We're here at Hendox. We're going to do a little bit of a different show tonight. We're going to do kind of a short. Oh, and I'm sorry. I've got Sam turning the dials. Sam's going to chime in every now and then. And he's drinking some sort of pink juice.
Strawberry lemonade.
Strawberry lemonade. That's
see exact. If I can get my mic up here. Strawberry lemonade.
On a hot day like today with a 95 degree heat index, strawberry lemonade is exactly what the doctor ordered.
It's awesome.
So yeah, like I was saying, we're going to do a little bit of a different show tonight. It's going to be kind of shorter. You're welcome, Steve Abreu. And we're mainly going to review the Stoke match. I'm sorry, Wigan match.
I knew that was good. Is Stoke on your mind today? What's up with that?
Well, okay, so they both wear striped kits. They're both mid-table English teams.
Well, Wigan's not mid-table anymore.
They were until about, 3 weeks into the season.
They're like non-table.
Yeah, and also no one was at the games where they played the Columbus Crew. So It's 6-1, half dozen the other. So that's why Stoke is on my mind.
A lot of angry Wigan fans coming after you.
That's fine. Come find me. If all those angry Wigan fans want to come to Columbus, Ohio, swing by Betty's.
We might actually buy your beer.
Yeah, we might buy your beer. And then we're gonna do a mid-season review where we gripe and moan and talk about how much we hate everything that has happened so far this year. And then coming up in the second segment, we're going to look at the Crew's playoff chances going forward and how they have to basically run the table to have a chance at the last playoff spot. And we're also going to look at the upcoming New England game. And we may or may not say a prayer that Diego Fagundes twists an ankle in practice at some point this week. Sorry, Larry. I know your secret favorite team. So, guys, obviously we played Wigan this weekend. I'm going to be 100% honest, full disclosure. I haven't seen anything about this game other than the post-game press release. And I didn't even read Robert's quotes because, again, it's a friendly. So, and I'm sure I could say I know what he said. But, Larry, you were at the match. Yep. I know, Justin, you watched it on YouTube.
I was at the match for the first half.
Oh, you were at the match for the first half. And then
the bad half.
Yes.
So, Larry, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on the Wigan match?
It was fun to watch. I like seeing, Grant Holt going against Chad Marshall was a real surreal kind of experience for me because I've been watching Grant Holt in the Premier League for the past couple of years. So seeing him going against the MLS team was really strange.
I can imagine, yeah.
But Chad Marshall held his own, and Justin and I talked about it right before he came on. Is the first half looked like they were feeling each other out in a regular league game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it felt like two teams early in the season trying to figure out, who was going to do what. And they tested Williams on the right side quite a bit.
Right.
He held his own. There's a Chilean player, I can't remember his name for the life of me, that was on him. But it was pretty good, and once it got to the second half, it was a lot better game. Espinoza came in, the crowd got a little bit involved, they scored early.
Mm-hmm.
The Crew came down and Ryan Finley scored. It was a good match. I'd have to say it's not quite as good as the Stoke game last year, but
right. That's because we didn't win this game like we did last year.
True.
But overall, it was an entertaining match.
I think so. And somebody said there was about 8,000 there.
Yeah, it was 8,800.
8,800? Yeah. So that's pretty good turnout for a game like this.
Justin, you were there for the first half, which was the boring half. But would you say that good soccer was played by at least one of the teams?
I thought both teams played fine soccer. It was fine. You know, the quote that Robert had that I think you're going to love.
Oh, yeah.
Was actually, nothing really happened on the field in the first half. And he was right. But it was
a
good nothing. You know, that's our Bobby. that's Larry was absolutely right. It was like you had two teams that were, there was a lot on the line for.
Yeah.
And it was a friendly. And it was Wigan's first
game in them.
Yeah. Since being relegated to the championship.
Yeah.
And we actually played a lot of our starters, which was kind of surprising to me. I thought
everybody but Higuain.
Yeah. And Dominic Oduro, we mentioned him before we came on the air. You know, he looked like he was trying really hard not to get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of that, and that's one of the headlines for me, obviously, is that no one got hurt. They were trying, some of the players were trying very, very hard. Josh Williams, for instance, we looked at a clip 2 minutes into the game where Josh is just busting his butt to get forward.
As from Josh will do.
Yeah, it's just like he's going 100% always. And he makes a great run, and Dominic Oduro's response to that is not to pass him the ball, but to pass it back and then pass it back again. Yeah. And it ends up back to Matt Lampson and Keeper from, you know, being, you know, in the attacking third. And so I think there was some, in those regards, it was very much like an MLS match in that we have perfected our back passing and Josh Williams is trying really hard to score.
What do you think without Higuain in there? I mean, was Oduro, could that have been part of the problem why he looked the way he looked?
Possibly.
Because nobody was trying to spring him forward.
It's possible.
Oduro started out on the wing. Mm-hmm. Schoenfeld started out up top, and that changed about 10 minutes in. So it was kind of weird, and then Oduro felt like he was the senior statesman because it looked like he was trying to take everything on his shoulder, and he lost the ball a lot. He's not a guy to have to handle the ball more than 2 or 3 seconds and take a shot, and that was kind of a something that he kept trying to do, is to try to do too much. But there was a lot of missed passing like in the final third, just like usual.
It was the first look we had with the first team basically without Higuain in it all year. I know it was an exhibition, but we've never seen Higuain not with the starters.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of why the first half looked the way it did. But it didn't look horrible.
It's interesting, too, because of what we were talking about last week when Simon Borg was on here. Mm-hmm. And he brought up the fact that maybe Higuain is not the answer. Maybe he's somebody who should be sat, and we'll see what these guys can do without him.
Well, in the first half, I mean, you could see that. I mean, it was a couple teams playing hard and decent soccer. Just nothing really happened.
I don't know. I watched that first half of that game, and it felt to me like at least our guys didn't feel like they wanted to be there. I don't think that they played hard. I think they played hard enough to... I don't know. To me, honestly, the observation that I came out with is, you know, a lot of people compare MLS to other leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're like, where do you compare it to England? They're like, mid-table championship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Guess what? That's pretty much what it looks like.
Yeah.
So
mid-table championship.
So Sam, you think that the players maybe would have rather had the weekend off to go to a couple of concerts or maybe the car show?
I would say the starters did, because when they did that line change, what was it, 10 substitutions in the 65th?
They did a line change?
They did a line change.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was 10 substitutions.
Becky and Hyland were the only two not to come
in. It was like seven guys came on.
How does that make Hyland feel? Like, everybody else goes in the field.
Even Withrow came into goal.
Poor Kyle Hyland.
I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
Sean Sloan, I think they're really good.
Yeah, and what happened is that you had those younger guys come in, and they were playing faster, and they were playing more aggressive, and Chani played an awful back pass, which caused the second goal, but that's besides the point. But they were playing much more aggressive, and then Bobby in the post-game press conference said, you know, I told them to go out and show me what they got. Some players took that to heart, others didn't. He said, obviously, Ryan Finley took that to heart and scored a goal. I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing Ryan Finley bump Schoenfeld off.
I would pray that we start seeing Ryan Finley.
Yeah, I would like to see Ryan Finley.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Aaron Schoenfeld has great hair, and he's tall. But he's not exactly the spark that we need in the offensive third.
I think we're seeing Schoenfeld because he's a second-year guy.
Yeah.
And not because he's better
responsible.
Than...
And also
and
the fact
not because he's
Bobby responsible,
but because he's a second year.
Yeah, and he started in that Portland match for a real good reason, was that Portland has a real hard time with tall, athletic strikers that just bang bodies. Like, if you think of their trouble that they've had with Lenhart, their trouble that they had with Tommy Heinemann, for crying out loud. I mean, that's
but we can't get a decent cross in to save our lives.
Right. But see, that's the reason why Schoenfeld started in during that Portland match. And if you see, he let his play in that first half led to that red card. You know, he put his face on the line, literally. and I think that was the reason why he started. Whether or not he'll be in the lineup against New England, I think, is a good question. I think that's a team that can handle a player like that a little bit better. But another thing that I saw, I think, with these guys...
Hold on real quick. Do you know what New England's record is?
Well, I've got it right here.
6-6-6.
They're 6-6-6.
They're the most...
You never want to see that.
No.
Yeah, so...
They're the most MLS of all MLS right now.
Also, that's MLS's dream right there.
Yes. They're automatically going to lose their next game.
Don Garber's like...
Yes! It's finally happening.
No, but it looked to me like that team that we put out there in the first half was, like I said, trying not to get hurt, but also they realize that they're in the middle of their longest and last break of the season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they have to play a team it's going to be a major six-pointer coming up next Saturday. They are playing a team that was playing against Houston on that same night, another team that they're competing against, and a team that's also going to play on Wednesday.
And a team that they have to play back-to-back games at the end of the season.
Right. So I think there was a little bit of, like, let's just keep it cool. Let's go out and get a workout, play against this team that's probably better than us.
Yeah.
Sam brought up a good point a minute ago regarding Aaron Schoenfeld. Actually, Sam teed it up, and then Justin knocked it out of the park. Regarding Aaron Schoenfeld and
in honor of home run derby,
as the home run derby is on TV above us, that Aaron Schoenfeld has started a few games because he's tall and athletic and has a big head that's easy to bounce soccer balls off of. But the point that was made is that we can't get a cross into him to save our lives. So let's go ahead and talk about where the crew is in the year with their wonderful 6-8-5 record, sitting solidly in seventh place. 23 points, one behind New England, two ahead of Chicago. And do you think it's time, maybe, finally, for Robert to start changing things up and abandon the cross it into Aaron Schoenfeld's big head strategery and maybe play more Route 1 soccer? Just get the ball to the guys that can score goals from the run of play, not the penalty spot, but from the middle of the field, and just start going balls out.
Have you watched crew soccer in the last 5 years at all?
No, I have. And every year we ask this question, and every year we cross our fingers and hope that Robert's going to see what everyone else with a set of eyes and a TV in Fox Sports Ohio sees. And we all ask this question. Larry, do you think that it's time for a, I don't want to say a strategy change, but maybe for Robert to have a change of heart?
I think so. I think they might realize that because the position that they're in right now, if they keep playing what they're playing and just trying to spring Adoro or get set-piece goals, they're going to wind up in 7th or 8th in the East.
Yeah.
15th in the league. There's only so far you can go in the league with three teams as bad as they are, and that's one position lower. And so in order to improve, they have to modify what they're doing. And I think they realize that. And I think the starting lineup in the last game was a little bit of that, admission of that. It might have been get some Ohio guys in there through injury and stuff like that, but some other parts of it might have been that, okay, we have to change.
Right.
What we're doing is it has us in the worst position we've been in since 2007.
So let's play a quick game. Justin, if you were in Robert Warzia's seat and it was on fire and you were in charge of changing strategy for the second half of the season, what would you do to create more goals and points on the scoreboard for the team that you're in charge of?
What would I do to usher
in the
goals are here era?
Yes. Given the players that you have on the team and the injuries that you're faced with and the schedule that you have coming up, what would you do?
I'm probably going to make a lot of people mad right now.
Okay.
But I would do exactly what he did in the Portland match, which is play the Ohio kids.
Yeah.
Play the young kids.
Yeah.
Maybe make the change for Finley and Schoenfeld. And, you know, whether what he's going to do with Jairo Arrieta when he comes back from the Costa Rica, the Gold Cup experience, where he's being completely irresponsible playing for his national
Gold
team.
Gold Cup experience.
And scoring
goals.
How dare he go score goals for his national team?
That's at least
two games. I mean, he scored goals. Not only did he go play for his national team, he scored goals for them.
He's just wasting goals.
Damn, Jairo.
What are you doing wasting goals?
But there are only so many bullets in that chamber.
I know.
We're just clicking now.
Yeah.
But, I would do what he's doing. I thought playing Will Trapp in that match, we kind of touched on this last week, I thought that was just really smart. And I'm somebody who has, like I've said since the beginning, you got to be real careful with this kid and not bring him out there and get him...
Heartbroken.
Very well put. But that was a great time for him to go out there and play. And honest to God, he is the most responsible player that we have.
Actually responsible.
He sticks where he's supposed to be. He does what he's supposed to do, and he's not going to deviate from that. He's not going to be making wild, crazy runs off into some corner flag territory to make a cross that will never find someone's head. I mean, he's going to do what the team needs to get the ball into a scoring position.
Right.
And I think that's going to end up serving us well playing with a player like Higuain. Now, Ben Spies, if he can come back and kind of fulfill what is the promise that we've been led to believe he has, I think that'll make a big difference. But I honestly, I think that what he's done, what he did in the last game against Portland was what I would continue to do.
Do you think they should keep playing him? I mean, where does he fit with Sanchez? I mean, is it one of those things where it's either or they?
Well,
because
that's
if they're
a really
both playing,
question.
If
that's,
they're both playing, it's more of the same, I think.
That's actually, somebody asked Robert that after the Wigan match. And he, Robert said that, yeah, he's very similar to Matias Sanchez. Let's see if I can find the quote. They both play the same position, and they're very similar. I'm just asking him to be himself, find the lanes, and move the ball from side to side and to be a connector. That's what he does best.
Yeah, and that's... I would let Matias Sanchez go forward more.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you can have... Let's say Danny O'Rourke is going to be the center back with Chad Marshall. Then we've eliminated one of the major candidates for being defensive midfielder. Tony Chani would be the other, and let's just let him go.
Let's not bring that up.
Yeah.
Tony Chani's a great JV holding mid.
Yeah, he just doesn't have it. And so let's play Trapp and Sanchez in those two spots and see what happens. And let Matias Sanchez be a little bit more aggressive.
And
now, he's also got the tenacity aspect that you want to have in a defensive mid. So I don't know how that dynamic is going to work exactly.
I think
let's see what it does.
I think the biggest difference is going to be, and all jokes aside, I think the biggest difference is going to be Matias Sanchez's discipline, whether or not he stays out of yellow card trouble. Because you're right, those two together in that two-person holding midfield experiment that Robert continues to stick with is probably a very good pairing. But if Matias, you know, gets in yellow card trouble, then we're screwed.
Yeah.
Maybe they could be like a little honey and vinegar.
Yeah.
sort of count punch, you know. I'm like, oh, hey, I'm the nice guy.
Santa.
Oh, here comes the mean guy.
Yeah. Here, a few thoughts before I forget them because it's been that kind of day. You were talking about Will Trapp and possibly being ruined. There is no more desperation than when you get knocked out of the first round of the World Cup.
Yeah.
Which he just went through.
Which he just did.
I think at this point, he doesn't give a rip. He's going in there. He's going to play. He was like, give me the ball.
He played against three of the better teams you will see. The France team and Ghana, those teams were seriously good. And when they played against France, you know, I watched him play, and he looked small compared to those French kids.
And the point that Larry made a minute ago about getting the Ohio guys into that the last game. You know, whether or not they're from Ohio, I'm sure it doesn't really matter a whole lot to Robert Garcia. The fact is they're young and they've got something to prove.
Young guys.
They've all got, they've all got chips on their shoulder, and they're all going to go out there and run their butts off, and they're all going to, you know, at least do something. They're not going to back pass 19 times when Josh Williams is making a streaking run down the field.
Exactly.
And he does have something to prove. Again, like, you know, that was going to be the,
the
finish.
And by the way, Will Trapp is a small-sized kid.
Oh, my God. He's 12 years old.
Yeah. I mean, he does look like he's 12. He's he's not a big, aggressive kid. I think his position, he plays very smart, and he plays very calm. Like, he's way more calm on that field, even making the tackles, than I see Sanchez or Danny or any of those guys doing it. Agustin Viana got to play left back in the second half.
Yeah.
And that was...
Did he get hurt?
He did not get hurt.
Well, that's
so
a
miracle. That was good. But I wouldn't be surprised if you started seeing Agustin Viana playing left back. Nothing against Chad Barson, but I think you're going to see at least that experiment.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
I think they'll give Viana a few games at left back at least. I mean, the rest of the season, really.
Yeah,
and Barson or Wall haven't done anything to hold down that spot.
Exactly. And I think also, on the other side, I think Anor is starting to cement himself a little bit more because he's playing really well. He had two really nice shots in the first half that went right by the post and could have been those could have been goals, and I see him getting hotter and hotter, which is really good coming off of ACL surgery.
I think that he's proved that he's basically Gavin's replacement on the right or the left.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't even talked about Gavin in, what, a month now?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's weird to not talk about Eddie.
Yeah. I mean, we've been waiting for someone to fill in, and I think Anor's that guy. They were looking at Spies for a bit. But
yeah.
I think Spies will drop back into that role where it's like, we'll try him for a couple games.
Right. And I think Spies is a great, not like it's ever going to happen, but a great 60-minute sub. You know,
I think right
to,
now,
to give us a spark.
Where he's at.
Yeah. And not because, just because he's going to come in and give a spark and run his tail off. So we're going to take a break real quick and then come back and talk about the future of the 2013 Columbus Crew. We are recording live here at Hendocks. Recording live. I love that saying. We're all enjoying our $2 pints, and Justin's about to go get one.
Yeah,
this is the Massive this is the Massive Report podcast. Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, Sam Fahmy, ladies and gentlemen, our wonderful producer, picking the music for tonight's show, if we can call that music.
That's what happens when Matt's not here.
Yeah, that's what happens. And secondly, was that too legit to quit? But that was totally too legit to quit, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we allowed that to happen. I'm going to apologize to everyone on behalf of everyone here. So we're back. This is the Master Report podcast, recording live from Hendocks.
I just want to say something.
Oh, God.
You are, like, four notches louder with Matt not here than you are on, a regular basis.
That's because I'm making up for his loudness.
Okay.
I mean, I could lean back from the microphone and yell like he does, but that wouldn't be...
Let's just keep it the way we did the first half.
Exactly. So we are here at Hendocks, and first of all, I don't know if you've ever been to Hendocks on a Monday night, but this place is literally like Cheers. You walk in, the bartender's like, hey, what's up? And by the time you put your stuff down and pick out a stool, you got a beer waiting for you.
That's because Willie's awesome.
And Willie may not be here tonight. Willie's here, but he's drinking.
He's here on his off night.
He's here on his off night. That's how awesome this place is. The bartenders come here to drink on their off nights. I am joined by Larry Johnson, and Justin Bell. Justin, how's that beer?
It's $2-erific.
Darn tootin' it is. And obviously we've got Sam over there. We are we're discussing
Dosa Cerveza. Right?
I'm sorry, say
Dosa
that
Cerveza?
Dosa Cerveza?
Dosa Cerveza.
Is that two beers?
Yeah. I don't know.
You just
to make
beat
a Dosa Cero joke.
Yeah, I don't know either. Moving right along.
I just speaking of crap on those.
Speaking of that Dosa Cero joke, there is a very, very sweet looking Dosa Cero t-shirt
there
to get
is.
You ready
Ooh,
for
is.
Your USA Mexico endeavor. That is, if you're lucky enough to have secured.
I really wish, not reserved, but secured
your tickets.
Yes. It's at this point, if you want to go to that game, you had better have paid for your tickets already or know Tim Howard.
Yeah, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, you're pretty much screwed if you haven't paid yet. And yes, the tickets designed by Massive City FFCC.
FFCC.
How many C's?
Just two.
Just twos?
Dos.
Dos.
Is it on your website?
Massive City FFCC.
Yes. No. Is it Massive City FFC?
Right.
FootballFanCurbs.com.
Anyway.
Fanatics.
Designed by Justin. They are gorgeous, and you might want to grab a couple. And also the scarf.
And they're available in red and blue, yes. V-neck and regular.
Yes. If you want to display your inner hipster, go ahead and get that V-neck. But then wrap the scarf around you to cover it up.
I might do that.
Yeah. I'm not going to because I'm not a hipster, but I'm going to get the crew neck.
And the most important part is we're kicking money back into the TIFO fund.
Yes. That's
the
most important
part. We want to do something really, really great.
So
we want to show Portland and Seattle how it's really done when you're truly the fortress.
Right. And we're only going to use three colors, red, white, and blue. There's not going to be any green. There will be no gorillas involved, and we're gonna throw a party like this, like U.S. soccer's never seen. I've been privy to some of those meetings, and all I can say is hold on to your butts. Moving into the discussion for the rest of the show, we have Nate Beckman, who is the newest writer on the Massive Report staff.
Eventually, he will make it to the podcast.
We'll get him on here eventually. Well, he also, first of all, shout out to Nate. Congratulations. He just had a new baby girl.
Wow.
Was it Saturday, I believe? Maybe Sunday? I don't know.
He's suffering from lack of sleep.
His wife, Victoria, had the baby girl, actually.
His wife, Victoria, did all the work.
Congratulations to her.
Yes. Nate covered his car seats in plastic, and Victoria did the rest. And so as soon as he gets all that squared away, we're going to have him on the show because we do need to initiate him into the world of Massive Report.
I have a feeling we need to tweet about this podcast as soon as it's up.
Yeah, it'll be by 11 o'clock Eastern. But he's been writing weekly columns about the Crew's chances of making the playoffs. They're called the MLS Playoff Forecaster. And this week, Nate made a very good point, one that I would like for Larry to discuss with me, because Larry knows way more about math than I do, because I'm a Hudson Street Hooligan member.
Maths.
And that is that... according to Nate, 51 points is needed for the last playoff spot, and the Crew will need to have a better record from now till the end of the year than Real Salt Lake has had in order to make that goal. Real Salt Lake has had a points per game of 1.85, and the Crew needs 1.87 over the course of the next however many games from now to the end of the year to make the playoffs. Larry, based on what you know about statistics, what are the odds of that happening?
Not very good.
If you were a betting man.
If I was a betting man, I would say it's not happening. But I'm not a betting man. But it's what Nate's saying is, A, that Real Salt Lake is having a really good, consistent year. Mm-hmm. And they've been able to outlast FC Dallas and Montreal. And I think that they will be there in the end. But one of those things where they're halfway through the year and they'll be there at the end of the year where they're at. The Crew, in other words, they have to rise to that level in order just to make the playoffs.
Right, to make the last playoff spot.
Yeah,
yes.
The last playoff spot. We're not talking about making,
first in the East. We're not talking about winning Porter Shield or being an Eastern Conference champion.
So what Nate's saying with what he's doing in tracking the team this year in his post on Massive Report recently is that the Crew have to play above and beyond what they've been doing. You know, two wins in the last six games obviously isn't going to get it done. Three wins in the last six games isn't going to do it. We're talking about three wins, a draw, or two draws in the last six games for the remainder of the year in order for that to happen.
Right, and all hyperbole aside, the Crew basically needs to not lose any games. Wins and ties are what it's going to take.
Yeah, especially against Eastern Conference teams.
Right.
And, you know, in a weekend like last weekend where Houston and the Revs played each other, when Houston beats the Revs, they're basically taking 3 points away from the Crew as well, especially when the Crew are ahead on games.
Yes.
And Houston is behind. I mean, that's almost like a loss for the Crew, even though they didn't play.
Even though they weren't involved,
right. They
lost that game.
Yeah.
Of the Crew's remaining 15 games, 9 are against Eastern Conference teams currently ahead of them. And of three of those nine are against the New England Revolution this weekend, and then the final two of the year we play back-to-back because Don Garber hates us and forgot about New England.
Don't you think that's what happened?
No, I really do.
They were scheduling everybody else, and they were like, wait, the crew.
Oh, crap, we've got these extra games with Columbus and New England. We'll just make them play them each other. No, I totally believe that's what happened because there's no other way that those chips could fall that way.
I've always wondered about how MLS goes through the process of scheduling. You know, FIFA 14 can schedule out games decades in advance make it work.
The NCAA schedules out, you know, football schedules, what, 8 years in advance? To answer Sam's question, and I hate to digress here, but I'm good at it, so I'm going to do it. I'm pretty sure that all of the general managers submit the dates that they have concerts at their stadium, and that's the first step. The second step is all of the coaches submit the dates that they're going to be in the Bahamas. And the third step is that all of the technical directors submit the dates that they're going to sign the players they think they're going to sign. And then Don Garber takes all of those things and pits his favorite teams against one another, against the non-NFL and NCAA football schedules. And that's how we get, and also NHL playoffs and the NBA. And so the best teams in the league, Don Garber's favorites, get the best dates and the TV exposure, and then everybody else gets what's left over.
But then they also have to check with ESPN.
Right. I'm pretty sure that ESPN says, hey, we've got these dates open, and Don just picks games to put on those days.
Yeah. Is it NBC now?
Yeah. ESPN.
Well, ESPN still is, I think, the primary driver of television.
Okay. Yeah, NBC.
I mean, that's the reason why, not to digress even further off your digression.
Please
but,
do.
Like, if you think about it, this coming Wednesday would be the most perfect day of the entire season to have, like, soccer day in the United States.
Because there
is no baseball at all.
It's the day after the All-Star game. The slowest day in sports.
You know why they don't, though? Because ESPN has their made-for-television stupid award show, the ESPYs.
The ESPYs.
And that's what...
But so they won't show any soccer. Don't they show that on tape, on delay?
Oh, it's totally on tape delay. It's not live. Yeah. They recorded that, like, last weekend.
What's the point?
The point is that ESPN tells MLS where to shove it, and Don Garber says, thank you, sir, may I have another?
There are two matches on Wednesday. I think one is... one is New England and Colorado. The other one, I think, is Chivas playing...
Yeah, somebody.
I don't know.
Well, TFC.
Probably TFC.
Yeah. But anyway, to get back on track here, Nate also does another wonderful little nugget in his weekly column, which he likes to call, Who Do I Root For This Week? And so we're going to look at this because if we really want the crew to make the playoffs, we need certain teams to lose and certain teams to not win. So this weekend, New England plays Colorado. We want the Rapids to win. New York and Toronto square off against one another, and we want Toronto to win that one. And I'm going to stop
there. Just for Duncan. I'm going to root for Duncan, period.
I'm going to stop at that one because if all of these things don't happen, we're screwed, and Toronto is not going to beat New York. So what's the point of continuing?
Is it not sad at all that we're only halfway through the season and this is what we have to rely on?
Yeah.
I was there in May, though, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, after April... I thought April seriously was a moment where we were going to find out what this team was. Like, is this team going to be the kind of material that is going to actually challenge for, say, a supporter shield? We had
Larry's about to shoot his.
I think after
his strong drink out of his nose
after the first match in, I think it was the podcast after the Philadelphia game, where we said. Basically, no, it was after the Montreal match where they got the draw in Montreal. I was like, well, you know, you can throw that out the window. It's done. Because you had to start getting points back in April. You had a home game against Philadelphia, an away match against Montreal, an away match against Chicago, and a home match against D.C. And I thought you needed pretty much to get maybe 9 points out of those games.
And they got like three.
Well, yeah, they looked like crap against Chicago. And after that, it was like, what are you doing to make this, to salvage this team? Salvage the season, and really, there hasn't been much that's been done.
No,
and so now we're into this circumstance where we've got. I mean, just look at the teams that we have to play. We're fighting against New England for that final spot. Play them three times. It's an opportunity. We have to play Houston. We have to play New York, Real Salt Lake, Seattle. Kansas City twice, Montreal again.
Justin, I want to stop
you.
It doesn't stop. We don't have Sam Chivas at DC again.
Sam just summed up this entire discussion in one completely involuntary motion. That was a big, bold yawn.
I'm not used to having a mic on me all the time.
It's okay. We like it. And, yeah, it's a big, bold yawn because at this point in the year, like Larry and I were discussing during the break, this is kind of uncharted territory for a lot of crew fans and also for the coaching staff in that it has been a long time, probably since 07, that we have been – we know we're not going to make the playoffs this year. Unless everything lines up and 2008 strikes again, we're done.
But even in 07, you had that hope all the way until the last day where you missed it by a point.
And even last year, we had – you know, we were chasing and we were chasing, but we were right there.
Hell, we chased it all the way to D.C.
And everything came down to that one game in D.C. and it just didn't happen. But this year – here we are, sitting on July 15th, drinking our beers, talking about how nice it's going to be next year when we have hope again. And we sound like a bunch of Chicago Cubs fans.
To be honest, I'm not giving up, though.
To be honest.
Oh, you wouldn't.
I'm not giving up.
Well, you don't give up.
I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up, but I'm like, show me something. Until you show me something, this is really, this becomes a professional task as opposed to an impassionate task.
There needs to be one of those 3-0 kind of, or
they need to go out. Exactly. Go out and just beat the living daylight out of somebody.
To be honest, against the Revs this weekend, if they're able to do that, that might change a lot of attitudes towards the team. If they're able to just dominate a very good Revs team, and you know they have a Wednesday game.
That's a very good point. That a lot of us are emotionally checked out, and we're going through the motions because we are fans. We love the team, and we love the 18 guys on there. But we're only going to games because it's what we do every Saturday. But if they go out and put the hurting on New England this year, I'm right back in it.
But it's not just that. It's the same discussion that I had with Clark Hunt after the Montreal game that we beat Montreal here, the 2-0. And he said, "Hey, what do you think of that score? Or what do you think of that game?" I was like, "That's great, but I'd rather see it every week than just every once in a while."
And that's the thing is this.
You know, I want to see some sort of consistency. Right now, the only consistency that we're seeing is losing.
Yes.
The only consistency that we're seeing is underperforming.
Well, only inconsistency is inconsistency.
Exactly.
They can't string a couple wins together. They haven't done it since the middle of last year.
No, and even if they do go out and put the hurting on New England this weekend and, you know, beat them 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, whatever they're capable of and play to that level.
They have Toronto the following week.
Yeah, that's true. But we're still, Monday night, I'm going to be sitting in this exact same seat saying, okay, so we won against New England and that was great, but what are you going to do this weekend? Yeah,
New England's on a playoff team right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a few weeks before we get to a playoff team.
They have an opportunity right now where they play... if I'm not mistaken, it's New England, Toronto, and then Houston.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I think, is it back to Toronto?
New York.
And then so you have those three. I think the hardest one is probably Houston.
Yeah.
And by the way, Adam Moffitt's goal. Holy
wowzers.
Crap. Holy crap.
Wowzers.
I know that the crew got rid of him because of the consistent amount of injuries that he got. But, man, every time he scores, it's like, why did we ever lose that guy? You know, but so you got New England and Toronto. New England's tough. New England is not as easy as it looks, and they've played people tough. Like
Diego
Fagundes. Who was saying they have a lot of draws. So you have that, and then you have Toronto, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's
if they string two wins together, that actually propels them into a better spot. And I think that brings hope up, like Justin is saying. That brings everybody's hope back up. But, man, for the love of God, I think their margin of error is maybe one loss
at best
for the rest of the year.
If they lose two of the next three, I mean, the podcast here in 3 weeks is not going to be very
It's going to be great. Go ahead and tune in right now.
Because we're going to be like, F it, we'll just get for it.
We'll be talking about Will Trapp for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Heck, we'll just bring... Well, we can't bring Will Trapp. He's underage.
Well, no. We'll make... Hendox, I happen to know the manager of Hendox. He'll make an exception for Will Trapp. Okay. We'll just feed him Cokes all night long.
The one thing that we should kind of got to keep in mind, though, is that Major League Soccer is bizarre. It's just as a bizarre league.
It is. Oh,
I agree. There's weird things that happen.
My foreign brain cannot comprehend Major League Soccer.
You mean where Eastern Conference teams show up as the Western Conference champions 2 years in a row?
I don't know if that
teams from the West are playing in the East. Right. So is the NHL. How is Columbus in the Western Conference for all those years?
Well, we're more West than Philly.
Well, we're East now, thank God.
But no, you're exactly right. Yeah. Very strange things can happen. But Justin, I'm telling you, man, this is not one of those strange things.
You can't really say that it's not, though. I mean, the fact is, look, I go back to the LA match, and there's a reason why those three lost points are just going to kill us at the end of the season. If we are not in a playoff spot, then we can point back to that and say this is something that was taken those 3 points were taken from us because of the way that Major League Soccer is. And, you know, you do have to kind of add those to your calculation at the beginning of the season when you're building your teams, I think.
Right.
I think, you know, there's some games that we're going to lose just for the simple fact that our referees stink.
No, you're
exactly
right.
But, like, look at Seattle, for instance. Look at what happened to them this past weekend. Right. I mean, they were in a game against a depleted San Jose team.
Mm-hmm.
And San Jose goes out, gets a goal about the 60th minute, if I recall. And then Seattle is trying to play soccer during that match, but they can't because San Jose is just deciding that they're just going to hack the crap out of them for 90 minutes.
Right.
And the referee is going to let them do it.
Because he's an MLS referee.
Yeah, you could see, you know, well, what referee it was. It was Mr.
Yeah.
Stoika.
Yeah.
And
he's from Ohio.
Yeah. And you could see, like, the frustration on the Seattle players in their body language. And then at the end of it, who was it that was tossed out? It was
Alonso, right?
Yeah. Their captain. And he's thrown out for doing nothing.
Yeah.
He gets a straight red for...
Wait, Stoika was refereeing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And they lose the match.
Right.
And so, you know, you're looking at the standings there, and Seattle is basically in the same position in the Western Conference that we are in the Eastern Conference. They're in seventh.
There's a big difference, though.
But there really isn't. Because
yes, there is.
No, there isn't. Because what... Look at what happened to them.
There's a huge difference between the Columbus Crew in seventh place and the Seattle Sounders in seventh place.
This is something you're gonna have to understand about Major League Soccer. We have these divisions,
mm-hmm.
and so no matter how you get to that fifth spot,
you get there. Right, but
and so that's what Siggy is looking at. That's what he's thinking.
Yes,
he's like, I gotta get to that spot. But see, that's exactly what. That's what Robert's thinking, too.
No, Robert's thinking about how can we be professional. Siggy's thinking about how we get
the
playoffs.
Robert has said it more than one occasion that he just wants to get in there and then let whatever happens
These
happen.
Are my now angry his, eyes, Sam.
His, no, just shut it.
His goal...
Shut your angry eyes.
His long-term goal might be different than Siggy's. I think Siggy's goal is because he wants to get in the playoffs so he can win the...
Siggy wants to win the cup.
Win the cup.
Exactly.
Robert's goal, I think...
Is to make the playoffs so he gets a contract extension.
Yes. And I also think that that's also the front office's goal as well. I think that's our... That is the major difference between the Columbus Crew and the Seattle Sounders.
Is the guy running the team.
Yes. We have an empty chair here for anyone in the front office who would like to...
Hold on. I want to ask Justin something. After everything that has been directed towards Bobby this year, do you really, 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 really wholeheartedly think that even if this team makes it to the playoffs, that they would re-sign him?
Yes, I do. 100%. 100%. I think that they...
The amount of backlash would be ungodly.
It doesn't matter to them, Sam.
No,
it doesn't matter to them at all.
It has to, because it's going to hit them right square in their pocketbook.
So what? They're losing money on this team already.
No.
I can't believe you'd make it worse.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mark is a
better... Can't I just win the damn lottery and just buy the damn team?
Right. No, I think Mark is a better businessman than that. Mark realizes that if they re-sign... Robert, then they're going to undo all the work that Golden K has done.
I completely disagree with that.
Mark is not a soccer guy, but you have said Mark's a business guy.
I think Mark will fire Bobby. He will fire Robert Worzia to save his own job. I think that's that is the essence of what goes on
misses,
over there.
If he misses Golden K, that might be his job. Right
I also
there.
Don't think there's any way in hell they're going to miss the Golden K.
Oh, I do.
I think from the moment that
Mexico game is gone,
yeah,
what do they have?
You don't.
They have Robert.
You don't set a goal like that without knowing that you're going to accomplish
they
it.
They didn't set it, though. Don Garber said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Don Garber did set it.
Well,
yeah.
See, that's...
But Don Garber also set a very attainable goal.
Yes, I think that... Look, if...
We're talking about Columbus,
we're getting
right?
into a conspiracy theory here. if Don Garber were to set that goal...
Crew fans talking
I think Don Garber probably would have said, you have to get 12,000. And I think the Crew probably went to him and said, you know, 8.
Yeah.
And I think they settled at 10 because it's an attainable
goal. He's probably
goal.
Onto something,
and
yeah.
it's going to. They're going to hit it. There's no way they don't hit this. We have a year and a half left. There's no way that they don't hit this. What's going to happen is, if it's between maintaining a team in Columbus, Ohio, and failing to hit that goal, then they will have some some great benefactor from who knows where, Barbasol.
Mark Narazzi.
I don't know who it's going to be, and they're going to sweep in and be like,
Eric Clapton.
Guess what? I just bought 1,500 tickets, and whoops, we're going to have this big, huge day where we celebrate the achieving of goal 10K.
It's
going to happen.
I think that I don't have a problem with that. I would really like it for it to happen.
What I'm saying is that it's meaningless if it happens
or not. All right.
What I'm saying is I think that they would be incredibly shooting, like, anything that they will achieve by achieving goal 10K, which is achievable. And I would like for it to happen, because, you know what? Seeing an 8,000 crowd, that's only like 3,000 less than an average game. Come
right.
on
that's
now.
That's a Nordeca less.
Like
yeah.
Real game. So,
so I mean, yes, goal 10K, but I would love to see it happen. And I'm confident in their business skills. And I know that the sales guys, no matter how bad of a position they get put in every once in a while by marketing or by the front office, they work their asses off to get people to through games. Having said that, after all this backlash, and then you renew, that is just stupid.
And also, we're overlooking...
But it would make no difference. Like, look, the people you're trying to... The people who would care...
I think
we're
going to agree to disagree on this, because this might... We could go on for hours debating this.
The people
this.
Who would care about that have already been dissed by being called the slice of the core fan base. They've already been dissed by being graded.
Or by their, not, those or are the their who, USA-Mexico tickets.
We're the ones who are complaining about the quality of the team over the last few years. They don't care what we say. They really
but
don't.
Do they not care? I mean, we talked about how many weeks did we talk about Sanchez and Danny O'Rourke starting and happened?
Eventually happened.
Every blind squirrel will eventually find a nut.
We're also forgetting the third and probably the most important part of the goal 10K scope, which is the stadium naming rights. If we get 10,000, we're going to get, we all agree, we're going to hit 10,000 season ticket holders.
Yeah.
We've got a jersey sponsor. We're going to hit goal 10K. But the stadium naming rights, I think, is going to be the big one there. And again,
I agree with that.
Justin, I agree with you that, yes, it's easier to sign Robert Marzia, but I think Mark is going to go out and find a guy who will coach for Robert money before he re-signs Robert. And that might be Brian Bliss.
You know, you're basically saying that they've already started searching.
Just like I started looking for one job before I left my last job, they're covering all their bases. The first rule of business is CYA, cover your ass. So, yeah, they already know. And if they don't already know who the next guy is, they've got a list of guys that can do it. I agree with you. They're not going to go out and sign some awesome Siggy Schmitz-esque coach. Yeah. But they're going to find a guy who will coach the Columbus Crew for Robert Arzia money. All that being said,
sadly, we don't even know how much Robert Arzia money is.
But it's probably not Siggy Schmitz money.
Well, let me say... Since you brought up the stadium, I think that is far more important than
absolutely.
Than everything
all
else.
All day
than the
long and twice on Sundays.
Yeah. And so what we've got is a situation where this final game with Mexico is going to be the big selling point.
Yep. You're going to have to...
And they're going
to
say, if you don't... But I also don't think that they want to... I think the goal from U.S. Soccer, from MLS, from all the people in play here...
Soccer United Marketing.
Yeah, they want to... use this as a sort of a leverage, a crowbar, if you will, to say to the people in Columbus, you're not going to get this game ever again unless you get a new stadium.
Well, maybe,
and so that's where that is what's going to happen.
You need your name on the stadium.
Right.
Yeah.
If I'm a corporate sponsor, I use that as leverage too.
Right.
I will give you my money.
Yes.
If I know that you have a plan in place, you're going to put a brand new stadium somewhere.
Either a new stadium, or you're going to dump $10 million into this stadium to bring it up to date.
Which is more than how much it costs.
So here's a little nugget that I found out that all of you are going to love. Our beloved scoreboard at Crew Stadium, and this is my last point, and we got to move on to the New England game. The beloved scoreboard at Crew Stadium, the one that survived the fire, that was doused by the Columbus Fire Department and survived the fire, is surprisingly not the oldest scoreboard that Daktronics still has in operation.
Oh, wow.
It's the second oldest. Do you know where the oldest scoreboard made by Daktronics is?
Is it in a soccer stadium?
No, I'll give you a sport.
It's
at the NFL. It's in the NFL. Mm. And I'll give you a hint. It's not the Kansas City Chiefs, the Hunt Sports Group team.
Ooh.
Sam, do you have Jeopardy music? Can I get 30 seconds of the clock?
Not this quickly.
Is it MLS owned?
Not Candlestick.
No. It's not MLS owned.
This is your tribute for the week.
Don't tell me it's FedEx Field.
Maybe we'll do a contest. Let's do a contest.
Don't do it to me.
If anybody can tweet. No.
Put it. Shoot.
Yeah, screw it. So the oldest Daktronics scoreboard in operation is where the Miami Dolphins play. What is that, Jack Roby?
It used to be Dolphin Stadium.
Yeah. Dolphin Stadium.
Dolphin Stadium. And guess which one they would rather service? The one at Dolphin Stadium. They hate coming here because it's in the oldest case. It's in the oldest. The thing that the Dolphins have done that the crew haven't done is update everything else but the actual unit.
Yeah, they haven't done that.
The speakers
that caught on fire, they've been there since 96.
They've been there since 99.
Or 99, whatever.
The point is that someone needs to either build a new stadium or dump $10 million into this one to get it out of the 90s.
Here, I'll tell you something. I was shooting a concert last night, and the concert was at the LC, and they had to do festival setting, which is basically they build a stage out in the parking lot and hook everything up to it, and people are standing in the parking lot because it takes like 10 to 12,000.
Yes.
And there is a thin LED screen.
It's amazing.
That is like 50 feet long, and it runs on like next to nothing.
Yep.
Why? Why can't we just get even one of these?
Well, that's what I think with Crew Stadium is, how much could it possibly cost just to upgrade
exactly
the audio visual kind of stuff again?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're talking about like something that roadies put together.
A few thousand dollars. I was at a sign show in Orlando, and screens that were bigger than that are only, you know, they're six figures, but you're talking about $10,000, $12,000, and they're bigger and better than what the crew has.
Exactly. Right. I mean, they're not HD, but they're pretty. Well, they are well better than what we have right
they
now.
They might be 480p, and all of the pixels work.
Yes.
Yeah. We run into what we discovered a few weeks ago about who actually runs Crew Stadium. Like, how is Crew Stadium operating? Who owns it? Who can say?
This is my favorite. You know, this is my favorite topic in all of Crew Stadium.
When you read the lease of Crew Stadium, it's weird. It's really strange. I mean, you have so much power that is put into the hands of the Ohio State Fair board.
It's really a lease where the Hunt Sports Group owns the building, but nothing else.
Yeah,
they own the building.
None of the land, none of the parking lots.
It's really a curious situation.
Which is
so
just infuriating. Okay, so anyway, we've got to move on. We got to talk about New England. Larry, I'm going to come to you last because they're your closet favorite team, and you probably know the most about them. Sorry, I hate to keep saying that. Justin, do you think that the Columbus Crew, as it sits right now, has any chance in Central Ohio to pull a result out of this New England match? Because this is like we were saying a few minutes ago. Lives aren't on the line, but pro soccer careers are on the line. Playoff hopes are on the line. Everybody and their mom knows the crew has to win out.
Okay.
If they lose, do you think that's going to motivate the guys? That's my question. Do you think that's a motivator?
Yes.
Wow.
I think they're going to be motivated. I think these players want to win. They're playing against a team that is in the same exact circumstances as we are. And if you watch the New England Houston match, they considered that Houston match to be a must win, and they lost. But they lost in bizarre Major League Soccer circumstances. They lost on a really beautiful Adam Moffat goal that only Adam Moffat saw that coming, and he nailed it. But then they came back, they fought back, and they got a tie. They tied it up, and then Moffitt scored again off of a sort of own goal off of the back of the New England keeper. And there was also a moment where one of their players was sent off, and I'm trying to remember who it was. I can't remember who it was actually, but one of the New England players was sent off.
Right.
So they were playing down a man. And there was some questionable calls in this match. I mean, Lee Nguyen almost probably should have drawn a PK towards the end of the match, didn't. So New England is in the same circumstance. They feel like they've recently been bereft of 3 points, and they are going to come and try to beat us because they see this as a 6-pointer too. So I think this is going to be two teams who are competing for that final spot. They both know it. I think we can win this. We're playing at home.
Sam,
given that this is a six-pointer and given that both of these teams are looking at this as a must-win, what do you think that the X factor is? Because in my head, it's coaching. What do you think?
In that case, we're lost already. If the X factor is coaching, we're screwed. It baffles me how we can beat a team like Montreal or a team like Portland. Yes, maybe we catch them on an off night or whatever.
But we beat them handily.
But we beat them. Okay, 1-0 is not really handily, but okay.
But Montreal.
But, yeah. But so there is the talent is there to win.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're winning because of coaching or despite of coaching, it doesn't really matter. If those guys want to make it to the playoffs, I think I'm really going to put it down on the players. I'm not even going to put it on coaching anymore because it's a pointless argument. If those guys want to make the playoffs...
So if the 18 guys...
On the field want to make the playoffs...
They're going
to
go out and
they're
win
gonna
the
make it happen.
I see.
Okay? I really hope if any of those guys are listening is like, you know, we can't talk for you. We can't speak for you and... Heck, in some cases, we can't speak to you. But, hey, if you listen to this podcast, if you want to make the playoffs, we're going to know.
Yeah.
If you don't want to make the playoffs, we're also going to know.
So, Larry...
Whether coaching related or not.
Yeah. Larry, I'm going to need you to play devil's advocate for a minute.
Okay.
What do you think New England has to do to win this game? How's that
they
for a question
to,
on the spot?
Well, I mean, they have to keep doing what they're doing. I mean, I think that they have better talent overall. They're a better team than the Columbus Crew. The fact that they're playing a Wednesday game, I think, only helps them, really. They're playing Colorado, a Western Conference team. I think that it'll be an evenly matched game. But going into the Columbus game, I think New England sees it as a game that keeps them in the playoff hunt. If the Crew win this game, it sort of puts them even with New England.
Right.
But if New England wins this game, they're still there. They're still there with Houston, the team that just beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the motivation is sort of on New England's side for this match. And if it's a coaching thing, I think Jay Heaps in his first year has Warzea.
As I said, if it's a coaching thing, we've lost the game.
Yeah, and like I said, in my head it comes down to coaching. It comes down to does Robert Warzea put the correct 11 players in the correct 11 spots to put them in a position to win the game?
I think that's the big thing. I think Jay Heaps already knows who he's putting out against Colorado, he knows who he's going to be putting out against the Crew. And the Crew right now are like, who are we putting out against New England this weekend?
Right.
And
right.
I think there's the advantage.
The only three guys on this team that know they're starting are Chad Marshall, Andy Grunebaum, and Federico Egwuain.
I disagree. I think you have more than that you know that's starting. Josh Williams, he's definitely going to start.
But where?
It doesn't matter. He's going to start. Danny O'Rourke is more than likely going to start.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Will Trapp, considering his last two games, I'd say Will Trapp's going to start.
Will Trapp is somebody who's just sort of come along. New England doesn't have a
that's
guy.
That's true. Right. Bernardo Anor will start. So, Simon Borg said something last week about how, you know, you force your game plan on the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And I disagree that with that in part because I think you have to know what the other team's strengths and weaknesses are and play to them. It doesn't mean you totally change what you do, but you have to take advantage of what this other team's weakness is and you have to stop where their strength is. And that's where coaching comes. But since you brought that up, what would be your ideal lineup going into this game?
Honestly, I wouldn't change a thing from the Portland game.
Okay.
I would leave that lineup in until they prove that they're not the right 11 guys. Here's where I'm conflicted on Robert, and Justin's probably going to hug me after the show for saying this, is that I think that his problem isn't his starting lineups, his problem is his substitutions. Generally, he gets the starting 11 right, but it's the subs that are wrong. He makes the wrong sub at the right time, or doesn't make the sub at all, or... ignores what needs to be done and does what he planned on Thursday night. He hopes
that eventually it will click together.
Right. He gets this idea in his head that he sits down on Thursday night with, you know, a bottle of scotch and a piece of paper and writes down 11 guys that are going to start and then three guys that are going to come in at such and such a minutes.
And if he struggles, he brings out the bingo hopper?
Yes. And he gets the bingo hopper out for his starters, but the subs. And
it's a very consistent bingo hopper for the most part.
It is a very consistent bingo hopper. Well, it's only got 11 names in it. but I think that it's going to come down to substitutions. It's going to come down to does Robert let the game control him or does Robert control the game? that's where the biggest difference between Robert and Jay Heaps is. Jay Heaps is probably better at reacting to how the game is at the 65th minute, whereas Robert could see the game in the 65th minute and think, nope, I decided on Thursday night I'm not going to make a sub until the 73rd, and that sub is going to be Tony Chani for Will Trapp.
I think Jay Heaps is playing with not a whole lot to lose, you know, being in his first year.
Right.
Warzea is playing under a lot of pressure.
Which means the role should be reversed. Jay Heaps should be getting comfortable.
Right.
Robert should be doing better things and being more responsible. Anyway, I got to wrap this up, guys. We're going to ask two questions at the end of the show tonight. First of all, Sam, does this club make the playoffs?
No.
Justin?
Jeez.
Barring no injuries, nothing else from the roster changes right now, does this club make the playoffs?
No, it doesn't.
Larry?
It doesn't make the playoffs. But that doesn't mean the season's over.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying that. I'm getting predictions. Does anybody in the peanut gallery think this team, as it sits right now, will make the playoffs? So we got a bunch of laughs.
That's a collective no and laugh.
Yeah.
You say that?
Can we choose to have people injured?
No, we cannot choose to have people be injured.
We cannot forfeit for lack of players.
We're going to have to get Morgan Hughes on the air when
we are. Okay, so Sam, if you want to cue that Saturday Night Live theme.
I sure can.
Justin.
Yeah, wait. Thanks for giving away what our...
Oh, everybody and their mother, including Lorne Michaels.
I have a caveat to my prediction.
Hold on.
Now, if...
There are no ifs. It was a very cut and dry question.
Is this
going to
be
yes
a slight slice of the court comment that's coming up here?
Yeah, pretty much.
Can I get a responsibility?
With the lineup that we have, unless there's another big move that is made...
We don't have any cap space.
There's still some space. There's still some time left in the transfer window.
There's secret space. I think...
What are they going to do? Sell me?
it's possible. You bring in very much.
No, I'm worth $8,000.
I still think that
I don't
there,
even know
there's...
About that.
There has to be something.
And a bag of chips.
An asteroid has to fall from the sky and hit someone on the head and wake somebody up and say, this team, as constructed, is never going to score the goals that
you
need
to win.
So what
it's going to take is it's going to – what you're saying.
You have to introduce change.
Right, and being as realistic as possible, Clark Hunt has to call Mark McCullers and say, Mark, change something. That's what has to happen.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I don't think he
will. So
we
all agree.
I would like to go on the record that I have – personally extended a call to Mark McCullers.
Oh, yeah.
After the Philadelphia game, saying, Mark, for the love of God, please change something.
Yeah, I think that if I had a dollar for every email to Mark McCullers I've read on Big Soccer, I could buy everyone's beers here tonight. But
can we throw something out there? Okay, so
we can throw whatever
we want.
Let's
look at a player like Breck Shea, for instance.
Right? Oh, you mean the one that crapped the bed on Saturday?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, Breck Shea... For what if I am correct, his rights are still owned, his MLS rights are still owned by FC Dallas.
Correct.
I don't think a player like Breck Shea is going to ever pan out.
He's not going to flourish
in the Premier League. No, because he's not good enough. But he's the kind of a player who in Major League Soccer can make a little bit of a difference in the team.
I would love to have Breck Shea on this club.
So let's just imagine, if you will, that HSG decides to return the favor that the crew... It's not going to happen.
Wow.
But something along those lines.
Justin.
I mean, they're laughing in the gallery.
I'm out of beer, man.
Let's just imagine
up.
That something along those lines happens where we get a player that's just a little bit less talented than that. And I think that there are players out there.
You mean like Dilly Duca?
I think Dilly was actually...
Dilly was great.
He had a lot of
the problem with Dilly was Robert Warzea.
Yeah, well, and the coaching staff and the front office of this.
The problem with Dilly was he wasn't happy in Columbus. I don't want to pin that on Robert. The problem with Dilly Duca, who was very talented and is doing amazing things on his own, is that he was not happy under the current system.
But I think what Justin's saying is someone of that level.
Yeah. Right, it's going to take a player of that level to play with Federico Higuain to get us into a level where we can hope to win out the rest of the season to make the playoffs,
and
to slide into the sixth spot.
And a new player, some fresh blood. You see how that always works for this team.
There's a top gun.
You bring somebody in.
To get to it.
You bring somebody in who hasn't been influenced too much by this coaching staff, and they bring in a little bit of a new air.
Or bring in somebody that's really hungry, like some of the kids.
See,
I mean, sometimes you're not gonna make. Sometimes you can't play harder. You have to play smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they have been trying to play smart this whole time. You get some kid that says, screw it, I'm going to go in like a bulldozer and just bump off people.
Right.
You know?
I think there's something to that.
Yeah.
If you look at the Vancouver-Chicago game, it wasn't wasn't it Rusin that came in late, sort of late on the year?
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been blowing the doors off anything, but he has been really solid defender for Vancouver. And they've been a completely different team over the last five, six games. And, I mean, they're towards the top of the Western Conference now, if I'm not right. And they made Chicago look ridiculous
but
in the second half.
It all comes back to the fact that there is no money in the bank for this to happen. We have to sign it. We have to drop somebody who's worth 150 grand in order to pick up somebody who's worth 150 grand and looking for a raise.
I think if HSG wanted to spend money on this team, they could.
I'm not saying that.
It's not in the...
You're exactly right.
It's not in the budget from what they...
No, it's not in Clark's budget. So, guys, score predictions. Larry, this weekend against New England. I'm looking at you first, buddy.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
My secret favorite team. Do I have to go against them this weekend?
No, you could call for a tie.
I think this is one of those games where... Man, it's such a big game.
It really
Justin,
is.
You go ahead. I want to think about it.
Well, they're coming off of a really hard loss. They're going to Colorado, I believe.
I think so.
I can't recall if it's away. But Colorado is a kind of a... They're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They're not great, but they're good. I think they can take a lot out of them. I think we can get a win out of this. I think 1-0.
Okay. Sam? Got a score prediction for Crew versus New England at Crew Stadium on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Tickets still available on HudsonStreetHooligans.com.
And I won't even be there.
Yeah, I won't either. Amazingly.
I'm tied up with a previous engagement. My gut says it's going to be a tie. It's going to be like a 1-1 tie or a 2-2 tie that gets blown late. And so we're going to lose the 3 points late in the game.
Okay, so we're going to...
However... Yeah. With them playing Colorado at, is it at Colorado?
Yeah,
so you're
I
talking
think
about
it is,
at
yeah.
altitude. Mm-hmm. Colorado's a fairly okay team. I can see them going out and getting maybe a 1-0, 2-0 win. That's the weird thing about this is that it's really any game is 50-50.
Yeah.
In the great scheme of things, any game this team has played has been 50-50. It could go either direction.
Right.
You know, depending on which team is going to show up. So I'm going to say. I'm going to say 2-0 Crew.
Larry, do you have an answer yet?
I do, and I think it's going to be a New England win.
Okay.
But I think what Sam was saying is sort of right, is that these are two equally matched teams. So it should be a pretty good game.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a very entertaining game. It may not be the most technically awesome game, but it's going to be a great game. I think that this one, I'm going to be the, I'm going to switch roles. I think this one is going to be a 3-2 Crew win. I'm going to call for Chad Marshall to get at least one goal. And because both of these teams can put points on the board. Both of these teams can pull things out of their butt cracks that nobody saw coming.
They had that game last year.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is a 3-2 Crew win. Somebody's going to score after the 85th to put the Crew on top. And I think it's going to be the first in a long stretch of hopefulness for Crew Soccer Nation. Live from Hendox. My name is Chris. Oh, also, don't forget that beers are $2 on Monday nights at Hendox. So come join us. For the rest of the staff, I am Chris Lamacchia, and this has been the Massive Report Podcast. I'm sorry, Steve.